because we have taken the decision we need to release you somewhat earlier than we expected. Having said that, I thought I should say that up front. Now, I'm very pleased that stakeholders we invited are here. They correct Mr. Herman. And I'm just looking around for the room. Yeah, right. Okay, association. Apologies.
Given to us by the chairperson of the National Gambling Board at that time, the current economic impact of say 15,000. The prime cause, as I've said, I think is underfunding. So let's look at the three components very quickly. Reading contraction. Domestically, private money has not grown. It's too low in order to sustain growth. And as a result, we see we're on the slip. There's a slide which I'll show you in just a moment. Internationally, we could make it up within the reading industry by exporting, but now also succeed in the international sphere. But unfortunately, the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries has been unable to meet the required standards applied by the European Union. We're in disarray with exports. In spite of a valiant attempt by this House to try and help us before, we've just been through a three-year ban. We're about to face another one. We're in disarray with exports, and we need help, and that can only really be addressed within agriculture. The TBA, the Breed Association, who look after the affairs of the industry, have posted huge losses over the last 2 years, so they have very limited funding to meet the aspirations of those that are employed within the industry, bearing in mind their limited resources. So we have an industry which is largely in decline, a reduction in the number of breeders. Here it is, there's the chart, from 1,400 breeders down to about 350. Here we have the number of stallions from 500 odd to just 100. The number of brood mares down by almost 50%. Clearly we have problems within that component of the industry. Racing South Africa was formed so that the operators, the breeders, and owners could come together to fund quarantine, research, and trade initiatives to work within the DTI through the Registered Trade Council in order to try and solve these problems, but we're still hamstrung. As I said, a three-year ban just finished, another one looming now, and the Department of Agriculture and Fisheries unable to pass international veterinary inspection by the European Union, which affects our ability to trade to all the countries who want to buy horses. At the moment, we have a triple of exports. It takes 7 months to deliver a horse to a client, connected 10 days from our competitors. We have what we believe is a 500 million rand plus export opportunity, which is stymied, and it affects our viability, it hampers employment, and is definitely a barrier to transformation. And who do we turn to help us here? I look at the sport as the second of the three components. The sport exists because owners, collectively, as the economic impact study showed us, are willing to lose more than half a billion rand a year in pursuance of the sport of horse racing. Now, if most owners make a loss, there's no difference really to introduce persons of colour who come race horse owners, because we'd be introducing them and making a loss. Most owners don't come out because the prize money is too low as compared to the owners. The very best horses make money, those are the group race winners, which really accounts for around 3% of all horses. And the only other way we can make it up is if we send our best horses to race overseas, and you hear that's the problem. If you just compare statistics for 1 second, the Vodacom Global Air, our richest race, worth 3 million rand. The Dubai World Cup is worth 10 million US dollars. We know we can succeed in these races, but how on earth do we access them? If we look at the structure of horse racing compared to other sports, we are traditionally funded by this owner's contribution, half a billion rand a year, and by income from gambling. Sponsorship and other revenue streams, payment by intellectual property, merchandising, gate money, and so on, it's very tiny. We're not really paid by intellectual property, and this is one of the recommendations that you made out of the previous committee meeting, that race should be entitled to charge for their intellectual property. All other sports rely on revenue streams other than gambling. So we really are unique in the way we should be treated, in the way that the structure should be changed. Because of this, transmission can only really be sustained by the willingness of owners to lose money within the sport. Let me rephrase and repeat that. Transformation in the sport can only be sustained by the willingness of owners to lose money. Let's find a solution. Now we turn to the third of the three components, the gambling operators. Here we've got two, we've got Pumbaa and Golden Circle. They are really products of a prohibition system which began in 1928. And that system is where they earn the bulk of their revenue. But in today's age, tote really has become more the dinosaur. And that carryover of that colonial era driven operation which really dictates our sport and why it's so difficult. If you look at the two gambling operators, they really have made any profits, and you know, most times within Bill's circle there's been a loss. There's trading losses because the totals aren't able to keep up. So profits have come from tax dispensations, job cuts, closure of racetracks, the sale of assets, the sale of land, because the reliance on an uncompetitive totalized betting structure is the core problem. That is the core problem because every other aspect of our industry spending on water racing accounts for 7.2% of all gambling turnover, but betting on horse racing is paying 13% of the national gambling tax. That seems to me to indicate some inequity which needs to be changed. I try to understand, you know, why this is, and I realize the stats of the National Gambling Board don't really analyze in detail, but they just provide us with a pointer. And we need to actually, within an investigation, to try to understand exactly how this comes about. My gut feeling this comes up about because of the old tax rates applied to tote betting as compared to other forms of gambling. So on this chart, this comes from the National Gambling Board section, 7.2% the yellow section, and here the yellow section again in terms of all gambling tax paid, it's 13.9% for 2013. Compare that to casino. Casinos account for 85% of the turnover and pay 75% of tax. So they have the exact reverse. Why is that? Is that by design? Is that by accident? Or is it because you inherited, that this government inherited from previous administration? I wondered if I've gone wrong somewhere by comparing turnover, that maybe I should rather concern myself with the gross gambling revenue, which is turnover less the returns to punters. And this graph, I think, illustrates another bit. In the green at the top is taxation level, percentage of tax paid. The yellow section is the gross gambling revenue, and the one at the bottom is turnover. And you can see, for the foreseeable past, the last 6 years, every year, horse racing paid a much higher percentage than they were earning in tax. Quick comparison with casinos, it's exactly the reverse. Casinos' taxation has never been higher than their UGR or their turnover. So why is it? Why are we unfairly treated compared to casinos? Something that requires investigation. So the effect of this distortion is a shortage in the cash flow cycle. And I think it's that shortage which contributes to the decline which has been felt by all three core components of the industry. The Economic Impact Study of 2009 indicated that horse racing employs 23 times as many people per gambling rank as compared to casinos. And bear in mind that most of these employees are from rural areas, they are unskilled. And they are the ones who are most vulnerable to retrenchment when the industry shows decline. We have a responsibility in our industry to provide jobs for those people who can look after a fixed product like a racehorse, or a broodmare, or a foal, or a ewe on the farm. Casinos are much more about machinery users. And our difficulty is that if we employ 23 times as many people as casinos, surely our government will want to look after our rooms and the mechanisms of payment for them. So to summarize this overview I've just given you, I think that the revision of the totes business model and its taxation and its relationship to other forms of gambling is indicated. I think it's overdue. I'm hoping that this House will take that forward. And I really do believe that transformation is already being addressed valiantly by all aspects of our industry to a certain extent, but it is disadvantaged by the current structural issues because of lack of economics, lack of funding. So what's the way forward in regard to the broad overview? I think that racing needs to accept the bulk of the recommendations which relating to horse racing and betting which were made by this Parliamentary Port Voter Committee and published in 2012. And I think the request to go forward that many of these should be implemented. But I think more important than that, I think racing must welcome the Minister's intention to appoint a commission inquiry to inform an appropriate and equitable dispensation leading to sustainable growth path for all those who are employed within the racing industry from top to bottom. If we don't change that, my fear, someone who's been in this game 40 years, is that we're at the point where we may find this industry collapse altogether.
The Thoroughbred Breeders Association. The breeders are basically the farmers.
In terms of self-employment, by the Thoroughbred Breeders Association, 50% of the people employed are people of colour. The Breeders Association and the breeders have put upliftment and education programs in place. The stud farms have groom schools. 50 grooms on the gate program. The intention is to educate at least 40 employees per year. And further to that, the intention is to roll out programs within the Cadet Inn and the Karoo regions. The training programs. Management of School of Excellence. This is run by Samuel. And this is for the purposes of developing skills, career pathing. There have been 40 international internships that we have sent overseas. And I'm talking about people of color who have graduated. And these programs that have been implemented have been programs that have been given international recognition. Further to enhance participation on a transformation level, the breeders have created co-ops. There's 10 co-ops with 7 members. Now, the breeders would like to have more co-ops, but the lack of funding does not permit this. Let me give you an example of how the success of a co-op. The co-op has enjoyed success with the purchasing of weanlings and reselling them as yearlings. One of the great success stories to date is being Vasik Kurix, purchased for $200,000 and sold for $1.4 million. Now, that horse is a great one winner. It's going to Dubai, to the Dubai World Cup for a 10 million rand race in 2014. Sorry, $10 million in Dubai. So that's the success of one of the co-ops. Now, the grooms in the breeding sector, they've identified that they need a voice and they've used the Agricultural Labour Union to echo their sentiments. If we move on to the gambling sector, remembering we said that you've got the breeders, you've got the gambling, and then you've got the sport. If you look at the gambling sector, one doesn't understand the extent to which transformation has taken place by the bookmakers. However, because of the relationship with the TOC, one is able to state what has happened in terms of transformation by Pumalela and Gold Circle, who are your betting operators operating the TOCs. If you look at the gambling license for requirements for Pumalela, the license says that they require a level 2 by 2015. They have a BEE scorecard, a level 3, as a level 3 contributor. They need 3.5 points to move to the next level. And I've been informed that it's in the next assessment, which comes in October of this year, they would have reached that level 2, 2 years ahead of time. That shows the commitment by that particular institution. If we move to Gold Circle, Gold Circle's gambling license also indicates that it needs a level 2. They're currently on a level, regarded as a level 4 contributor. But their board has already approved the plans which are in place to achieve their level 2 status. Let's look at the sports. Firstly, the regulator, which is the National Horse Racing Authority. The board, which was previously an all-white board, now has 4 persons of colour and 1 female. The staff complement has now moved to 47% of the staff being people of colour. Further to that, to try and address the transformational issues, the board has created 3 positions. Yes, only 3 positions because funding limits the board's position. But 3 positions for people to earn a stipend while they develop an understanding on the horse racing industry at large. So all sectors of horse racing, they would learn an understanding there too. Now, further to that, the National Horse Racing Authority has removed all barriers to licensing and registration. It's open to all. We're even giving recognition for prior learning, just as it's been done in other sectors. And the evaluations in order for you to be registered or licensed can be done written or oral. So we have made attempts to accommodate people. The rules have been amended. If you would remember at the house that the grooms came with various issues, and one of the issues was assault and abuse. The National Horse Racing Authority has amended its rules to address this, and there's further consideration going forward.
for the grooms to be represented at inquiries, and we're also considering the registration of grooms. Let's look at what's happening as the operators in the sport. The racing operator Formulera, as I mentioned, they now have an 81.5 score, and that's out of 100. The racing operator Gold Circle is a level 4 contributor with a 65.15%. The owners. Whilst the owners are certified, they have a triple BEE ownership certification. Ownership still remains unprofitable. As was mentioned earlier, owners operate at a loss of 580 million. It is very difficult when you're operating at a loss to convince people to come into that business. Trainers, 0.4% are people of color. You may say, but why are those numbers so? It's because being a trainer is not a profitable business. You learn from hand to mouth. When you look at South African Jockeys Academy, 54% of all South African students are people of color. What are the initiatives within the industry? The industry has created groom schools in the Philippines, Summerfeld, Ashburton, and Raakfontein regions. Part of the groom schools is career training, stable management, ABETS, numeracy and literacy. In the Summerfeld, Ashburton regions, they're providing training for ground management learnerships. There have been work programs that have been put in place. Sorry, work rider programs that have been put in place in the Western Cape and Gauteng. This teaches the grooms skills to ride on the racetrack. And the operators have put on programs, race programs, especially for work rider races. Further to this, the industry has been contributing to the development and promoting informal racing within the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Northern Natal. The owners' associations have tried to promote syndication. That is to promote the ownership of horses. So basically, instead of one person owning one horse, now people can buy shares to try and reduce the cost associated with ownership. Further to that, there's been contributions in terms of African horse sickness and the Equine Research Center. And the purpose of this year is to improve and promote the health and welfare of our horses, and also to be able to be in a position to export. Because if we can find the right vaccines for African horse sickness, we'll be in a better position to be able to export horses. Now, in a previous study, the Grooms Association, South African Grooms Association, raised various concerns. But the actions of the South African Grooms Association have also
When I see statements like this in writing, that the actions they have threatened her case, I sometimes would prefer here in Parliament, unless we have court case pending and arrest, etc., and cases lodged, rather aren't allegations or alleged threatening. I mean, you're saying threatening, and presumably this is on the third person.
Madam Chair, I have submitted correspondence to Mr. Andre Helmans. Thank you. So just coming back to the action that raised some concerns. It's just in strike action at the Summer Cup and the JNDMS. I've also submitted evidence where there's been threats to trainers and trainers' lives. I've also submitted evidence to this, or support documentation to this House, where there have been demands of funding of 10 million from racing operators. And then there have also been unsubstantiated claims of theft of 17 million by Formulera. I've also submitted announcements to grooms, which is misleading and defamatory. The industry has conducted some surveys in the racing industry. And surveys indicate that of the 2,197 grooms in the Western Cape, Southern Province, Northern Cape, and Eastern Cape, a minimal number is affiliated visited and we escaped have also indicated that they have rooms that belong to other unions. Example, Tsawu and the Food and Allied Workers Union. Now, when the NHA engaged with the South African Grooms Association, primarily in the initial phases, the primary issues that were raised were labor issues. Subsequent to discussions, when the NHA mentioned that as the NHA is not the employer, it cannot deal with labor issues. Subsequent discussions highlighted issues of training and development. Subsequent to that, the National Gambling Board arranged a workshop in Cape Town in May 2013, which highlighted, as I showed you earlier on, that there were schools and education programs in place, but the grooms were looking for career development programs. The Grooms Association, South African Grooms Association, asked the NHA to sign a recognition agreement. As mentioned to this House, the NHA is not the employer. The issue, it is common cause, and if you do a Google search, it's common cause that recognition agreement, as it's commonly understood, is between an employer and a labor union. As the NHA, we recognize, NHA and the industry, we do recognize the contribution by the grooms. The issues that were raised by the grooms outside of labor has resulted in the National Horse Racing Authority amending its rules, as well as drafting a code of conduct. Furthermore, if there are complaints that are laid by the grooms in terms of assault, abuse, etc., or contraventions of the rules, the NHA has it in its processes or is currently considering that there be representation on behalf of the grooms. And obviously this depends on the complexities of the complaints. Now, the industry in support that the recommendations relative to horse racing and betting, as stated in the report by the portfolio committee, be accepted and implemented. But it shouldn't just stop there. We've got further proposals and interim proposals. Industry is in agreement that the NHA should be granted statutory recognition. All betting operators must contribute to the award the cost of maintaining the integrity. All betting operators derive benefits from the integrity of the sports. And then, part of the interim proposal is to disallow the open bets. What is a long-term proposal? As we know, commissions of inquiry can take long periods of time. For government to appoint, Honourable Minister, we ask you to appoint a commission of inquiry. The industry begs you, appoint a commission of inquiry into horse racing so that it can form the restructuring.
Can you take that call outside of this room? Thank you.
We beg you to appoint a commission of inquiry into horse racing so that it can inform the restructuring and the transformation of the industry. Madam Chair, honourable members, honourable minister, I thank you for your time.
Thank you very much then, Mr. Pillay, but also Mr. Bruce as well. Now, what we need to undertake at this time is a short section of clarification, because we will then get the case report by DTI on recommendations to respect the gambling report before we do, you know, a full engagement, as it were. I hope that's clear. This is just a brief engagement here. But then we will enter into a much broader engagement after the input by DTI. And may I just say that we invite the chairperson of the Labour Portfolio Committee, who already has another meeting scheduled at this time and has apologised for not being able to attend this particular meeting, but has asked us to keep the committee and the chairperson both fully informed of
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you to Mr. Brusson and Mr. Pillay for an interesting presentation, clear and concise. Madam Chair, I just want to say I find it very worrying, and I'm speaking as a farmer, that we are sitting with an enormous potential to earn money for South Africa in exporting racehorses. And I think those of us who have been part of the gathering, because I was serving as the advisor in the subcommittee, on a site, someone has acquired knowledge. But the I just think it's a tragedy that we can't find a way, and that partly we accept agriculture and the forestry department, to be able to make South Africa, which is producing magnificent horse flesh, to export it. That, I think, is a really important part of this presentation. I think the other is how one does the tax. I think we went into discussion on how one could reform tax, but that's another issue. The question of the grooms issue, I really think, I don't know whether Liv Songwe and Anku have got in with the South African Grooms Association, but it sounds to me as though they're in that same tradition of what one might call radical confrontation. And I do think that figure of 72 members of the South African Grooms Association is something we need to remind. But unfortunately today, and particularly thing like a horse racing, is you're working with animals and with the resort to violence and murder that does happen amongst the trade unions. It's a very worrying thing for the industry. But I think the really important thing, and since we have our honourable minister with us, is this question of exporting racehorses and South Africa as a nation benefiting from the industry. But I thank you very much for the presentation. I think it set things out concisely and more important for us on an evening session with the speaker having a big party next door. It's short and sweet. Well, not all sweet, but it's short. Thank you.
Thank you very much. But just to mention we actually are aware that it was the three-year ban related to what was termed African horse sector, rather than any lack of funds that led to the export challenges. And I'm aware of that because of a letter given to me, and which we then requested the President to see what could be done and about. And they didn't mention lack of funds there, but rather the classification of what was called African horse sector. I just thought that we should remind ourselves, those of us who may not have been in the committee at the time, that this is we've been tackling this for 2 years now. So there we are, there's that one. The other thing which I just want to caution members on is I don't think anyone's accused of murder in this greater industry, not that I'm aware of. Perhaps we, as it were, just moderate our adjectives. Honourable Jeremy?
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. I think that we at the Control Committee have welcomed this presentation and report. But as the report has raised several issues against the grooms, I think that it would be better by giving an opportunity to talk about it. And then after that, we have the government engaged with the Minister for Press.
Honourable Frank.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. To Mr. Bruce, who in the presentation indicated that when one compared the turnover of the horse racing fraternity of 7.2% as opposed to a tax of 13.3%, where the inverse appears to be the case with the casinos, is the inference not that the horse racing fraternity then is partially subsidizing casinos, where the casinos are paying a lower tax as compared to yourselves. Thank you.
Honourable Salah.
Just one two questions, President. To find out whether a similar presentation or a particular presentation has been made for agriculture and sport, so as to get an understanding on how they feel. Because it's clear that this cannot be discussed by President industry in isolation to this department.
Thank you. Honorable Cora.
Yeah, thank you, sir. I just want to understand that in society or NSA affiliated to STATCOC. STATCOC is the umbrella code for sports in the country. But I remember I attended a meeting and I can't remember there was a horse racing group was affiliated by STATCOC. What is either affiliated or if they're affiliated, what is your relationship with them?
Right. Can we just have a brief response to this?
I think the first question was, I've trained as a representative within the National Trust Authority of Dental.
Honourable Member, I assume that you're talking about the board. Trains are not represented on the board. The board is made up of other members who are elected owners.
While I've got my microphone, the
other question by the honourable member was whether this presentation has been done to other departments. The response is no. We haven't been given an opportunity for that. And then, so you asked whether the NHA is a member of SESCOC. The answer is no. We're not a member of SESCOC. I think one of the challenges is that when you look at the sport of horse racing, once we call it the sport of horse racing, thoroughbred horse racing has never fallen under the Department of Sport. It's been under the Department of Trade and Industry.
I think part of the reason for that is that no one has been able to completely define whether horse racing is a business, a gambling enterprise, or just a sport. And it was mentioned to me that as a sport, its revenue stream should come from sponsorship and other mechanisms, just like every other sport does. But in actual fact, we're unique because we're the only group that relies on agriculture to provide a mechanism for gambling to take place. So we have this strange dichotomy of three different components, which really should be involved with three different ministries, all sort of bandied into one. And the DTI, for example, takes ownership of the SA Trade Council, the registered equine trade council, under which groom's crosses apply on stud farms. And you would think that really that should come under agriculture. So it's a bit of a hodgepodge, which is why I said earlier on that when you look at all the flows within the industry and you write them all down, it looks like spaghetti junction. You're not quite sure how the whole thing plays together. And one of the main issues in a commission of inquiry is to define and explain and understand so that we don't have this inordinate system which has developed over 50 or 80 years, which becomes a model. And that really brings me back to the question about casinos and whether horse racing is subsidizing. It's hard to understand in the gambling forum that if horse racing is paying such an inordinate amount compared to casinos, that we do think we are subsidizing. And it's not surprising that the different gambling operators have come to this forum and have said in the past, it's not a level playing field. Different groups have got different benefits and advantages which we don't have. And why is that? Has it been done deliberately to slow down the horse racing industry? Well, I don't think so. I think this happens, my view, through the tide of history. The tone in the real world around, in all racing jurisdictions, today battles to compete. And yet our operators are expected to fund the entire sport and all the people involved within it largely through top betting. It can't work. It's a structure which has continued to create underfunding and continue to cause unemployment. 20 years of decline in employment surely gives us a message. The only way to turn it around is to change the structure. We have to find other mechanisms or other systems unique within South Africa. We can copy some of the overseas systems, but we've got a different forum, a different population, a different structure here. We have to create our own, and we can only do that with a proper, considered, detailed investigation and approach to a commission inquiry. I don't see any other way. In 40 years of racing, I've seen commissions of inquiry come and go. God knows in the old government, they were plenty, I've got a couple.
would like you to with us give your name?
Yes. Peter Gibson, Chief Executive Officer of the South African Equine Trade Council. I would like to just clarify some comments about the export status. Number one, racehorses account for 25% of our total number of exports. In fact, the sport horse community, part of which is the Olympic discipline, make up about, and with the potential of an Olympic Games looming, we have to solve the export scenario. Madam Chair, if I can refer to that delegation that went to the UAE where President Zuma kindly intervened on our behalf. I think the issue regarding funding at that point was not relevant. We were asking the Ministry of the UAE to adopt a protocol that was within the confines, within the description of the acceptable rules. But you have to understand the issues that lead to an outbreak, and that is basically chronic lack of funding in terms of AHS control. And underlying all of that is actually lack of investment in an internationally accepted vaccine. And we have had very constructive discussions with DG regarding that matter, and I think that there is an opportunity for us to take that forward. So thank you.
Thank you very much for that clarification. Is this on the same matter, sir?
Madam Chair, in terms of my proper response, direct response from a racehorse trainer to the Honourable Gentleman's question.
Just a minute. Give your name, please.
Louis Quill. You asked about the racehorse trainer representation. I don't think, I'd just like to clarify, we are all independent business entities. We are employers of grooms. Grooms work directly for us. They do not work for the NFA or the operators of racing in South Africa. It's very difficult to have a body of trainers. We have a national forum of trainers who take issues and have meetings with the NHA from various bodies. And that's formed amongst the trainers themselves. No, there isn't a body which is a South African Trainers Association as such, but it's an informal body, and I must say we are very accommodated when we have problems. We do get to the higher committees to be about it, and we can go forward.
Thank you very much. So that was the
Wilson Checker from the Mark Taylor.
Right, Leota. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The name is David Finesse. I am representing Old Circle. Just to clarify the issue about trainers, certainly in the provincial areas, as in KwaZulu-Natal, there is a trainers association representing trainers. I'm aware that there's an organization in the Cape called the Western Province Owners and Trainers Association, so there is a relevant organization in the Cape. I'm unaware of others in other provinces, but I thought I would just get the record straight. Thank you.
It depends from province to province as to whether there's a body shift. Thank you very much. Now, the article here is here, because I think this was a short question before Bright.
But I think the key point will come out now, you see, that I'm very grateful for the answers, because the point is made in the presentation that the NHA is not an employer, the trainers are the employers, and that recognition agreements are usually signed with employer associations, which is why I asked if there was an employer association. So it now turns out there are in fact several employer associations around the country. My question then, both to you, sir, but also to anyone, is why the efforts at negotiations between you and the DTI have been, in fact, between you and the DTI, and not between the DTI and those employer associations.
Mr. Lundeli, Mr. Talia, Mr. Guglioni. out to argue. As a matter of fact, I can't even see you. Let's just get you, at least one of you up here, the chairperson. Thank you. And in that interim point, you may well make your comments. Someone else here needs to make comments. Professor DeBrich, while that's taking place.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And it's really just a question of clarification, because on the question of whether the trainers have representation of the AHA, and we've heard them, they're talking about the formations around provinces of trainers. But the trainers, through this informal association of trainers, groups, do have engagement with the NHA. So they have a clear voice to the NHA, even though they're informal as an association. So that's quite an anomaly. And I'm going to talk about the rumors of the Australian issue.
Thank you very much. Right. We now have before us the South African Groups Association, and we will start with yourself, the chairperson of that association, Mr. Smalltalk. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm not going to be long about these issues today, because many times we've discussed about this. First of all, if I can comment about this report of the NHA, it's not correct somehow. Especially the issue of development. Secondly, it's confusing this house, the issue of associations. For instance, we spoke to Mr. Pile, representative of the NHA in Johannesburg, the National Gambling Board. They confirmed that there is no association in the horse racing industry being recognized by the NHA. Also, he confirmed in writing. When we find out, as we know as the rooms, there are associations there. That is not correct.
So you saying
they are funded, are we? Yeah, there are associations being recognized in the as we divided in the category in the region, that there are breeders, association, owners, trainers, everything. The NHA is a regulating body in the horse racing industry. And it's a body which is carrying all the objectives in the horse racing industry. Therefore, the rooms decided to form their own association because of number of issues affecting them. I believe that we're supposed to be recognized by the National Horse Racing Authority, not by the Trainers Association. For instance, on the 4th of February in Johannesburg, we spoke to the NHA, we put down the draft recognition agreement we have to sign. The NHA, we discussed both about the recognition agreement, and the NHA, he checked out all the issues of the related to the labor issues, and we agreed about that. They said we must just put some the sentence which is going to talk about the development, because they are not going to deal about the labor issues. That was okay. Again, when you're looking at all these associations, I don't know, Madam Judge, you must allow me just to use this word only once in order to the minister to rectify a real problem in this recognition agreement. This matter of refusing to recognize the group is a racial issue. Because if you notice all the associations, there was no argument to recognize them. Also, we are not mistaken when we approach the energy to recognize our association, because we are a part of the horse racing industry as the groups. There are a lot of benefits to come from the government to the industry. and also involving the grooms. Now the groom, they have no chance to accept their offer or anything from the government because of when it comes behind us, and then if we were head association, those things that were translated to us. For instance, Mr. Pillay, he mentioned that the 17.5 million we claiming. Yes, we did be claiming that with the public protector. The government in 1997, he gave us the 17.5 million as a rules, but they took themselves. Now we did be investigating that money. That is correct. If we had association, that thing should not happen. You see, without any doubt, we allow it to recognize by the National Conservation Authority like other bodies. If, for instance, if the National Conservation Authority, they don't want to recognize us completely. If you compare these letters, there is no association. Today, there are associations. What does it mean? You see, it's confusing. Also, madam, this thing of a commission is very important for the grooms to have a say about any problem affecting them in the horse racing industry. I don't know, on that side, I don't know why they are worried, why they darken anything to recognize our association. As I said earlier, we got grooms, jockeys, trainers, breeders, everybody, they got their horse association and recognized by them. But why when it comes to the black people? Why when it comes, because they don't want white groom there. It's only black. Now they are immunizing. Whereas the government already recognized our association and approved it and then certified it in the past 2 years. But this association I'm talking about, they recognize, they haven't got the constitution, anything, they just recognize one time. You see? Why now the government just leave us alone like this? Because these guys, they are bullying us now this way. They are bullying us because they cannot put anything in jail. Why? They refuse to recognize us. The rooms are dying there, left their families without nothing. The rooms are assaulting by their employer, of which the NHA is supposed to facilitate that problem. You see? I'm going to be final with you at the moment. I'm going to finalize the statement because I'm going to get it. You see, this matter of a recognition name, if you look at the constitution of this country, is not an excuse for forcing the NHA to recognize us. If you look at the constitution of the country, without looking at the association in the industry, they recognize you. If you look at only the constitution of the country, we allow it to be recognized by the National Association of the Country. Also, if you look at the constitution of the regulation board, which is the NHA, we allow it to be recognized by them. People like that matter.
A quick case study, Madam Speaker. In 1994,
we formed a union by the name of South African State Workers Union. In that, one of our demands was that the grooms must have a school, then the grooms must be upgraded so that in the near future must have a groom that becomes a trainer and a groom that becomes a job. Then the school was started in 1996. I was there. But this was funded by the late Everett Bellinger. He was a private owner. We had a good combination with the Owners Association through their chairman then, Mr. Bistio. So the school was good for the rooms. Then after the chairmanship was changed, Mr. Gentleman took over, and then he left the school astray. Because what happened after that, they introduced the Kunz Jockey Academy, but in that Kunz Jockey Academy, only a white groom became a jockey, fairly licensed by the name of Devin Ashby. All the grooms that trained with that guy are still there as grooms. So you can see from Mr. Sumoto's eye when he says it's a racial issue. A groom that came into the industry just 2-3 months or so, then he became a work writer. 2-3 months again, he became a jockey. Believing that all those guys who have been doing these horses since day one of the introduction of the racing association in the country. So those rooms are still there. They are still waiting to be updated. They are still waiting for everything. What is happening with the schools that are introduced by these sectors? I would say they lead the rooms to be trained to their expectations. Then the groom cannot say, I want to become. The trainer would say, you must be, or you must train and become. You must train and become. So that is the issue, and that is the reason why most of these training centers are not successful in the country. Because the guys are being forced to train or to be trained for a particular something which they are not interested in. As a result, Mr. Smoto next to me here, he's the product of that Western Province Groom School. He graduated there. He applied for trainer's license. Why he didn't get the license? Because he's black, I suppose. I think it's true.
Thank you very much. Augustine,
is this for your
Augustine is there anything else the grooms would like to add before we call on the DTI? Well, we'll have a clarification, of course, and then the DTI.
On top of that, Muslim, I just want to emphasize that this is a racial issue. I'm not mistaken to say that. For instance, if you can notice the license of Gosel from 1998 until today, you can ask yourself how many black trainers came from their support from 1998 until today, even though they said to the government they are going to support the groups. If even Nayana, from 1997 until today, how many groups came to be a trainer? From that license, from that license, they apply from the Gambler Board. I'm just want to add on that, and this is a racial issue to not recognize the Groom's Association. For instance, this report, they prepared yesterday, this report saying the Groom's are 73. They went to door to door in Gauteng to say, fine, you're not a part of the Groom's Association. Door to door. That's what they did yesterday. And before yesterday, let me finalize my limit. On the 14th of February, I brought a form in the Southern Gambling Board that there are the rooms are 1,400 and something. They committed the forms that they are the members of the association. And then the CEO of the National Horse Racing even including Mr. Pinay. They said, no, it's not in the fund. Because we know that this is the association quite allowed to work on to draft a code of conduct for the trainers. It means they were not worried about the application forms. That is why I never brought it here, because I know that the forms is not an issue. Even the CEO of a gambling board can support me on this matter. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Samoto. I believe you have an advisor with you. Am I correct? I'm just checking, seeing as you chair the association. I'm looking at a name here, and Ian and Jake. Mr. Ian Jays, is this correct? Maybe he would like to add
that. That is correct, Madam Chair. I would like to just clear up some confusion about this. You know, there was an allegation made here that the grooms had accused Formalella of stealing 17 million rand. Well, it wasn't a straightforward theft as such. What actually happened was that before the ANC government came into power in Transvaal, Gauteng, there was a fund called the Horse Racing Development Fund, which was set up by the provincial administration. And it was funded by a tax sacrifice from province, of, as they used to put 1% of all the taxation they got from horse racing into this fund. And then the clubs had to apply for grants from that fund in order to do certain things like capital expenditure, etc. Now what happened when the new dispensation came in, there was 34 million rands in the horse racing government fund. And province, in its wisdom, and God knows why, how they would do this, they saw fit to give a company with shareholders 54 million rand of public money. And of that 34 million, there was a portion of it which was supposed to go to provide housing for grooms, both married and single services for grooms. And Formanella undertook to actually do that. But what happened in reality was they didn't build grooms accommodation whatsoever. And they put the money and gave it to their shareholders. It went into their accumulated profits. And this is always, this is factual. I mean, this is in their account. I mean, so that's the story with the 17 million. It's actually 34 million that they got from the government of public money, which, I mean, is very questionable at any event. It's questionable that a company with shareholders should be given public money. It really needs to be addressed. That's the one thing. The other thing, as far as recognition goes, this industry, horse racing, and I've been in it for the last 50 years, and I've been a trainer for the last 33 years, and I was a trainer up until March this year, when Formanella gave me notice to get out of my stable and say I couldn't train anymore at the establishment, and so I have retired as such. I don't train any horses anymore. But the fact of the matter is that I have a lot of long experience in the game, and the problem with horse racing has been, it's always been a case of divide and rule. Certain powerful bodies, lobbies and cliques seem to get control over certain bodies and then the problems begin. And I see on the proposal that was put forward that they're proposing that the jockey club become a statutory body, and I actually endorse that 110%. I think the jockey, the horse race, sorry, jockey, I think of the old jockey club, the National Horse Racing Authority. I believe it should become a statutory body, and I believe it should have chapters, an owner chapter, a breeder chapter, a jockey chapter, a trainer chapter, and a grooms chapter, so that the whole, all the stakeholders in the industry will be represented there. And they will elect people to the controlling committee of the National Horse Racing Authority. And that will be the big controlling body and policing body for horse racing. And I believe that's the way to go. And you know, they brought up about African horse sickness. Now, I don't know if people here know, but horses are obliged to be vaccinated twice a year. For
yes, that information is previous.
And the Western Cape is what they call an African horse sickness-free area. So horses in the Western Cape do not have to be vaccinated. In actual fact, they're not all vaccinated. But all horses outside of the Western Cape have to be vaccinated. Now, you heard them say how important it was that this export of our horses and the whole industry revolves around this.
I think what you're doing is now getting into what I've...
Well, I want to just make one point.
Yeah, but
it's very important.
Are you chairing or am I? No, please.
Okay.
I do want you to bring that all in later. I do. But right now, we want this input. And then, as I said, we want this broader engagement once we get the ETI input as well. And I'd just like that point to be, in fact, I can see you very quite enthusiastic to say this, but you won't be prevented later on. Can I make that clear?
That's fine, yes.
Thank you, Jay. Yes, and you'll turn off the chairperson so I'll talk.
Well, thank you, ma'am. I just want to emphasize this thing. The reason of a dismissal of this man, ENJ, is because of his supporting us to be recognized, our association in industry, also supporting us to the public protector, all those cases to claim this man. That is why they decided to Pumelela and NHD to dismiss him.
I think members, and as I said, you will get this opportunity in a broader discussion, but we would like to hear at this point in time, oh, that's yourself, chairperson, of course.
No.
Yes, it is yourself.
Madam Chair, I just want to understand the reason for the refusal of NHD to recognize it. Because associated is in the Bill of Rights of this country. So can I also understand, or can you bring us with your development and your transformation program in your association? Because I heard you spoke about transformation and development, but can you tell us please, what happened around those issues? Thank you.
Yeah, I'm the chairperson, of course. Honourable Ndekani is here as the chairperson. Sorry about that. But, I mentioned earlier that we'll engage in that broader briefing. Right now, what we want is to get any clarification from grooms that may be required. That's it, at this point in time. Honourable Ndebe.
Chairperson, I think that the NHA issue that the coma threatened the trainers and trainers' lives. I didn't see the comments responding to that.
Yeah. Are there any other
members
wishing to get clarification? Right.
I'm not sure. Maybe can you give me that document which says the crews are threatening the court?
We'll make that available to you, but not be here in this meeting.
So far, it's nothing like that. Unless I see the document, that is the answer.
Madam Chair, I just have one or two comments. Unfortunately, our trade union landscape, and I'm not suggesting it's all of them. It's a minority, has been characterized by violence, intimidation, threats, and in fact, not just threats, murder, conflict, etc. So one doesn't want to dismiss that. And the point is that in South Africa at the moment, if you threaten somebody, we know that that's actually quite a serious matter. We have no death sentence. So killing is relatively common.
Honourable McIntosh asked the
IHRA say that SAGA, which I think is giving reference, has 73 grooms who are affiliated to them out of 2,197. Now, Madam Chair, I don't want us, this committee, to become the meat in the sandwich between SAGA and the National Horse Racing Authority. It does concern me that we're getting involved in that sort of situation. And the other question that one I have is that if the representative, and that's the second question, how many members do you actually have, and is the 73 members who indicated an affiliation of 2,000 in fact wrong? The other question is there's a complaint about assaults and so on. Now, Madam Chair, I don't, assault is a common law crime. If you're assaulted, you go to the police station, you lay a charge, and you say, I've been assaulted. I mean, I don't know why a committee on DTI has to start dealing
with... Honourable McIntosh, I've said that marker.
Now, the question is, why don't they lay charges to the police?
Right.
Chairperson Mortal. I don't hear you the question what I was saying.
Numbers, if you recall.
I wanted to answer the number, not why.
Right. The second question is the wasn't so much a question, it was, if you like, a rhetorical one. Why weren't you laying charges for alleged assaults?
We do lay the charge to the NHA all the time if something happened like that. They are just, not taking any action.
Right. I think the question was to lay it. Today, a charge at the police station, you know, per se. That was the question. Honourable? Yeah, just a minute. I'm not sure why having this meeting has led to a little bit of a, not sure what to describe, a market-like atmosphere. Mr. Simonto, you answered the first question and you said no. The second question was referred by Ms. McIntosh, Honourable McIntosh, with respect to why these charges weren't placed
as the grooms, it would be fair that if the grooms got, if the grooms were affected to assault by the employer, we discard ourselves as the grooms that we must refer the complaint to the NHA. It means on our side we prefer to go to NHA instead of police station. As you know, if myself, I'm a victim of assault on my employer. I just went to the NHA.
Thank you very much, Chairperson Zamoto. Honourable Raili, Honourable Spring, Honourable Khaderi.
Thanks very much, Honourable Chairperson. And we also wish to welcome the input from different stakeholders of social partners. Because there's always a difference between the stakeholder and the social partner. A stakeholder is holding a stakeholder, the partner is itching. So there's imbalance when it comes to that. That's why at times I'm comfortable with the notion of a social partner. But I think my worry is it's fine to get presentation. But what becomes important, what are those issues that we want to tackle? Issues of strategic importance. Because I've listened to the articulation of Honorable McIntosh, and I was being writing in terms of that particular approach or that posture. Because it's a posture that does not help both the social partners in the industry. Because as the GTI, we, or as government, we must begin to rise above all other issues and begin to provide strategic direction. Because we can't make blanket statement and accusation in terms of a particular social grouping in a society, be it even the trade union movement. Because we can define different types of assaults and different types of exploitation, because what becomes important for us is to listen on the presentation But furthermore, we have to identify the strategic issues. And as part of the deliberation, DTI is going to present some of its own report. Because we're not seeking...
You have a question at this point.
We're not seeking to resolve everything yet.
No,
if you can allow DTI so that we outline the process.
I'm so worried we are trying to get there, so I'm waiting for your question.
I didn't want to pose the question. I do have a question, but I didn't want to pose the question.
This is an opportunity to seek clarification. So when we do engage, we engage on a clear front. I will say, this is a clarification.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. My question is very simple. It's one question to our rooms, representing rooms. The question is, indicated that the colleague of yours did not, his license was not renewed purely because of his association with the grooms. Do you have proof, or is that just kind of deductive reasoning you reading between the lines? Of course, he has supported you, he doesn't receive his license. But is there proof to that? Thank you.
I just want to remind Honorable Sringy as well. We are turning this into a court.
No.
This is a parliament. No. It's not part of the judicial system per se. As a matter of fact, that's another arm, another institution, another arm of government. And of course the executive is another, and we are another. Now, I don't want one moment become a court. That's not our purpose, not our mandate. Now, thanks to everyone participating here, as stakeholders and those who are social partners. And I also say this to members as well. So we're not here conducting an inquiry that would require but we are asking members to moderate language and to use more appropriate language in this particular regard. Honourable Khadeva?
The matter I'm going to request is that after the input from the homes, I think that it was said that it came after the input from the NHA, but surely we can address the DTI. So that after that input, they'll be able to engage properly, so that they come with the report.
Yeah, but I must make it clear, we always give people the opportunity to clarify. It's most unfortunate that people have taken the opportunity to add to the clarification. So we've now had that last point made, and I think you'll keep that in mind, Chairperson of the Water, when we engage in the broader discussions and questions. All right. So at this point now, we are going to have deliberation. We are going to have that. Thank you. Minister Bailey.
I just want to clarify what you said is not correct. I did not have my license not renewed. I was given notice to vacate the stables. I had no place to train my horse. So I gave up training and I never renewed my license in August and in July of my own volition. I wasn't forced not to do it. So I'd just like to clear that point.
Thank you for the clarification.
I said that that's not what we heard. That's why I asked for the clarification.
But she's not got it. Thank you. So there we are, you've received them. Minister Davies, and I should also say thank you and welcome to the DG, Mr. October, and the 14 that are here. There's also a chief director here and several other members. But can we just proceed, and as you talk, you will announce yourselves because you've got a full list from the Corporate Regulatory Division of Consumer Affairs as well. Thank you. Over to you, Minister.
Well, thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm just going to make a few points, and then I think maybe some other members of the team being more deeply involved in this issue might want to add. But I think that really the DTI comes in two respects. One is in the regulation of the gambling side of the industry. The second one is, to some degree, at least, in the question of exports. That's where we're coming. So I think the whole thing about everything else in the industry and so on is not really where the Department of Trade industry comes in.
decline in jobs between 1995 and now, from 100,000 to 15,000, is that in 1995, broadly speaking, what we inherited from the old order was that the only form of gambling that was legal outside of the homeland in South Africa was horse racing. And there were casinos in the illegal gambling elsewhere until in 1995 there was a new order. So what actually happened was that it moved from being a monopoly to competing with all kinds of other forms of gambling. And all kinds of other forms of gambling which may not have the same kind of infrastructure, the same kind of knock-on effects into other industries and so on, as horse racing. I think that's something that we had a discussion in the gambling council. I've had another discussion because there's any number of new forms of gambling that we could go in for. But what is it going to mean in terms of infrastructure, investment, jobs, and so on? So, I mean, you mentioned the casino. The casinos are, in some form or other, taking the market from the horse racing. But what about online gambling taking the market from the casinos? And what are we going to get for online gambling? We're going to, we can play online play for Orly. In the channel line, something like that. So I think that we need to understand that this is not an infinitely available, elastic market everywhere. If one goes up, someone else is going to go down. That's what it is. This is the reality. Now, I think that a point has been made that this particular one, as I said already, has got other knock-on effects into agriculture. There's jobs there, all of those kinds of things that are linked to this particular form of gambling. So I think that's the issue. Now, I don't know. I don't know where this thing came from. I've been trying to find out that there was some commission of inquiry that was going to appoint. This is the last thing that came out of this. The well-being intention to have a commission of inquiry. I understand now that that was a proposal that was made in the hearings of the portfolio committee, but didn't find its way to the report, actually, of the portfolio committee. So I think we need to just say that just disabuse everyone that I've not announced any intention to appoint a commission of inquiry. But what there is the following, is that I think that what has happened and what has emerged from the report of the Gambling Review Commission is that this industry, in terms of its ability to continue and to create employment or whatever, is constrained by the license conditions. That's what it is. And the license conditions were, according to the Gambling Review Commission, they should be changed in a number of ways. They said that the horse racing industry should be allowed to dictate the number of locations of track, the number of races, that the funding model should be changed, at least in some respects, by allowing the integration of the horse racing operations with other forms of gambling. If I remember, it was limited payout machines and stuff like that. But the National Horse Racing Authority should become a statutory regulator of the industry. All of these were the proposals for the Gambling Review Commission, which were endorsed by Parliament, actually. Now, what we are doing is we have to go, because this is provincial and national, we have to go to something called the Gambling Council. The Gambling Policy Council. We have to reach some kind of understanding with our colleagues in the provinces that the Gambling Policy Council meets from time to time. And we are on track to present a proposal in October around some of these matters. They will require that there are some changes in the legislation. Now, we're sitting here at the end of this term of Parliament, so we might be able to agree that we're going to start some process, but it's not going to happen until after the election, any amendments to legislation. So that's all possible. We could deal with that. We can also deal with some of the export matters as a department. In fact, I was on that trip to the UAE, and I also raised the matter. There were various proposals which we put further forward, including that there's a place, I can't remember the name of the place now, that was identified in the UAE, where the horses there could be quarantined, things like that. If I'm not wrong, and I'm subject to correction, I think we've raised the same matters with the EU about some of these matters. Now, I think we need to be a little bit careful about throwing things around like DAF to solve the problems and stuff like that, because the information that I get quite often is that this is a highly competitive business and that the people are linked to other
exporters. It's not a simple matter. These SPS matters are not a simple matter. There may be some solutions in the realm of vaccines and things like that. But these are the stuff of international trade negotiations. These are what these things are about. It doesn't mean that you just raise a point to somebody automatically they concede. It doesn't also mean that these things are strictly according to the logic of whether or not the horse sickness can be passed on or not. There are other factors that are involved. But I can tell you, we would continue to be able to do that. Now, to get onto the issue of the grooming association. I think that, Comrade Cora from a sports committee, you want to tell us if we expect to see transformation, we expect to see in every sport an increasing representativity of teams and things like that. Now, I'm aware, I don't know this sport very much, but the very first black jockey ever won the Derby in July. So this is 2013. This is not a long time into our democracy, and the first one wins. Now, I think that there may be some issues around the labor relations claims of the Grooms Association, and whether it's with the Horse Racing Association, whether it's with Honorable Hill Lewis was finding out, but the Trainers Associations or something. But I mean, I think that just to answer the Honorable McIntosh, yes, there are wildcat strikes in South Africa, but the answer that we all come up with is that we need to strengthen the institutionalized collective bargaining system. That's what the answer is. It's not to sort of sit back and lament. It's actually to say that we don't want wildcat actions. We want the employers and employees to sit down together, recognize each other, engage in good faith. And those are covered by the Labor Relations Act. Now, it's not for us to prescribe how recognition in the labor relations field takes place, but I think that we would want to see that the Labor Relations Act is respected in terms of the labor relations aspect. But then there's a broader thing. There's the developmental transformation program. And I think if we would want to say, end up on to prescribe which organization as such, but the Grooms Association raised it, they are a stakeholder of some sort. And we want to see some kind of inclusion of all the stakeholders in those kinds of processes of transformation. Now, I think that simply this is it. You're asking me to address the things in the Gambling Review, raise the Gambling Review Council, change the legislation, improve the funding stream, engage with the provinces, but do that, but we want to see there's a transformative process going on in the industry. I think that's the quid pro quo. If we find that there's this or that attempts to thwart the Labour Relations Act, or there's really no transformation going on, I mean, not the ownership of the companies, but in terms of the actual sports people, the people that sit on the horses and so on, there's no process going on, there's no career marketing going on. Well, I mean, the appetite project is going to be less. This is not this is called the sport of kings in some places. This is where the shakes go around. This is not working class activity or industrial development or anything like that. So I think it's really for us, the DTI, to be getting involved in the nitty-gritties of how the industry runs. But we can adjust the conditions to make this industry, according to the analysis of the Gambling Review Commission, according to what you endorsed here as a portfolio committee, there are those things that we can do. But I think that if that happens, we'll want to see that this is an inclusive, a transforming industry. I think that's basically it. That's the message. We can do those things. But, we want to see some kind of process going on. So I think that the fact that you've got a group of people coming there, been there before, and they're saying that there's this and that, people are throwing allegations around one way and another about intimidation and threats and things like that, that's not a good scene, let me put it like that. So I think I would want to suggest that all the stakeholders need to think again and try to find a more inclusive and more, harmonious, if you like, model for this industry, more inclusive and more transformative model. That's if that happens, we'll work with you as a partner. If it doesn't, well, the appetite will be yes, to be quite honest. So I think that's it. I don't know whether anybody wants to add from the DTIE, but that's my take on what we've been hearing as a
thank you very much, Minister.
Yes, Chief Director, yes, you can see.
No, then, I just want to confirm what the Minister has already alluded to, that we analyzed the report of the Portfolio Committee on the matter, also from the Select Committee, and then we are drafting a policy, so by October, the Minister said we may have a draft that should go to the Gambling Council, and also probably come here, subject to issues of parliament and voting. But we are just indicating that everything that was recommended by this committee would be sort of effected in the policy draft, and then to follow the process. That was just a confirmation of the transfer.
Thank you very much. Members, I should just point out, and I know we've all got the report from Horse Station, although there are some new members here, and we need to issue it again, of course. But as always, with Portfolio Committee reports, our statements are reserved to a consideration of particular issues themselves. And in that instance, there was a request from the Minister to consider four issues in that particular regard. In the main, it was that the horse racing industry be regulated, that should be under consideration, the amendment of gambling legislation, and also the again, a consideration as to whether the establishment of commission would be possible into horse racing, etc. However, the Minister himself has not moved. Yet, this is still under consideration. We're still finalising a number of issues in this regard, as I'm sure you are aware. So that was a request for consideration of a number of issues arising out of our engagement at that time in 2012, March 2012. So I just thought I ought to point that out. Now, this is a rare occasion, and I've only had to raise this matter once before, but I actually advise stakeholders and members to use more modern language. We're not here to entertain a show, but rather we are here to undertake a particular issue. We have a mandate, and this mandate seeks, as always, to try and see whether, if there is a dispute, if we can facilitate the different bodies, the parties involved, to resolve those issues. But we're not a court either, and I think these issues must be made clear. But it has been under a long consideration. I would also like to appeal to members of something I've never had to do, not even once. I'm here as chair, and not individuals I'm sitting in front of. And if you have a problem with that, then you have every right to put it in writing to speak up. But until that's done, I'm not conducting a circus show. And I want to remind people about that. And to also tolerate and listen to what other stakeholders are saying in a responsible manner, because we will do what we've agreed to do as a committee and what Honourable Vaidili just referred to again in our way forward, strategically where to take this matter. But it is a decision we will not leave outstanding. It has to be taken. It is a serious matter, and we said that in 2012, and we are coming to the end of this term. As a committee, we need to be more definitive in our position on matter with regard to transformation and issues around that the grooms have raised, but also other stakeholders in the horse racing industry. On that note, I'm going to ask members to take a short tea break. Literally go and help yourselves and then come back so that we can do what you've been trying to do, all of you, to actually engage and deliberate so that you can raise questions,
make your comments, but moderately. Moderately. Now, we all have a clear understanding of that now. Moderation is the order of the day. Thank you very much. So we'll return to just 6 minutes. Thank you.
It shows that how serious this government is taking the issues of the people. But as much as the government is serious, there's nothing you can do if the participants themselves don't take themselves serious. I think that would be the starting point. Because it cannot be this business we got. It cannot be this business we got to have where the sector is untransformed. If the statistics of the groomers and then the statistics you got here today from the National Housing Operating Authority is what is surviving, it is that we are going to take the next 100 years to reach a really, really inclusive sector around this area. Because it is not only the groomers who raise this issue. I remember that lady, Pindi Kemp. That Pindi Kemp, yes. There was an issue, which is the remedy. So you cannot, you know, have so many people from different worlds coming with a similar issue and then say that there's nothing wrong. So I think that what I'd like to ask is how quick does the National Health Racing Authority like to be made a statutory body? Because the recommendation which came from the previous public hearing that we must have a statutory body, because once we become a statutory body, I think that it will give also leverage to the government so that it can control it, it can make it in so that it can be controlled. Because we cannot have a situation where what the groomers are raised is still happening in the country. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Kadebe. We then have three other hands here. We have Honorable Waili.
Thanks very much, Honorable Chairperson. I just want to make a few proposals. Some of those proposals may address some of those issues. Because we have to develop a framework where we can respond to both short, medium, and the long-term issues. Because there are issues which you can say are quick wins, but there are issues that will require a particular process during the regulation. But I agree with Comrade Peck that we require the collective wisdom and the cooperation of all the social partners in that particular industry. And I think they must adopt a slogan that says nothing about ourselves without ourselves. So they must be the custodian of things themselves. I think that's what is important, because we can do everything in terms of government regulation. But the issues of perception, the issues of attitude, the issues of self-effectiveness require that people must rise above and begin to focus on strategic issues that will benefit the industry, but also benefiting South Africa and people. But in terms of different presentations, we have managed to pick up the issues of transformation, the issues of inclusivity, the issues that relate to the labor relations issues, of which this meeting will not be able to address all those issues. I think one proposal that can be considered a multi-disciplinary team within government, first and foremost. Because you've got those issues that may require the Department of Labor, there are those issues that may require the Agriculture Department, the CMA, the number of people. So that those people, if we were to establish that team, they can be able to assist us in terms of responding to some of the immediate issues. The second proposal relates to even for the parties which are here today to consider the what is called the relations by objective exercise. Because at times it works in a number of industries. Recently, what kind of lessons that we can draw from the mining sector? Because the deputy president has been assigned a particular responsibility to assist that particular sector. So I think there are certain lessons that we can draw from the role of the deputy president in terms of the mining sector, in terms of ensuring that different social partners begin to talk to each other, but also begin to find a way of reasoning with themselves, but also understand the bigger picture of government, because to ask us what is modern, every industry must contribute to the economy of the country, but for the local objective of this particular government. The issues of minimum condition, I think there was no clarity, because if you go to other industries, recently there was a situation in the farming industry as well. One of the lessons that were drawn recently in the number of sites on the farms, and how do we begin to ensure that we tackle some of those issues? So we don't have to wait for anybody. I think the people in the industry must demonstrate a sense of matured leadership in terms of rising above, because if there was a strike in Detroit and other areas, to what an extent is this industry regulated? Because if there are people who are getting injured, workers, in such other sectors, we've got what is called the IOD injury duty. So if we want to grow the industry, but it must be all for the well-being of everybody, both the owners and everybody within the value chain. I think that the last issue is to consider the issues of the black economic empowerment, because if it finds expression across all sectors of the industry, no sector must be an enclave. Every sector, the sweat and toil of each and every person in each and every sector, there must be a sense of ensuring that we redistribute the economic benefits in a manner that ensures that even the well-being of other people in the value chain can find themselves of being in that particular industry. I think that becomes fundamental. Because you can look in terms of presentation, how many people on the board and how many people who are in the staff complement. But if you were to go in detail, what are the balance of forces? Who controls what in the value chain? Those are fundamental issues. It's not about the number crunching, but about the substantive benefits associated with those people serving in different categories. Maybe the issue of the commission can be one of the issues that can be considered by all the departments. Thanks very much, Commissioner.
Thank you very much,
Madam Chair, I agree with a great deal of what my colleague Honourable Waiye said. We want to have a unified industry. But, you know, if you're going to have transformation and black economic empowerment, it works brilliantly if you've got an industry which is growing, if we've got growth. And if an economy grows, then it's much easier to do black economic empowerment, because it's a win-win. But when you have an industry such as this, according to what we've presented us, which is in decline, then I believe it's very difficult. And not only that, as we've had evidence, is who wants to become a shareholder in a business that's going down? And that is, to me, the issue which government needs to address, because it's quite clear the Department of Agriculture and Forestry is failing in terms of horse breeding or the agricultural side of the business. The other question is the matter of social compact. Now, Madam Chair, I don't want to, shall we say, underplay the importance of the grooms. My sense is that this, the Grooms group is actually a lobby group. They don't have the legitimacy of a real constituency. They do have the legitimacy of expressing certain ideas, which I'm not saying is invalid. I mean, South African society is a very open society. We debate everything. But the point is, you know, if you're going to get serious, you've got to get involved. And the last matter, Madam Chair, is this kind of industry is essentially driven by free market entrepreneurs. And with the greatest respect to my Marxist friends, and there are a number of them on this committee and in the ruling party, they've never sweated at night over an overdraft. They've never understood what it means to be an entrepreneur, to take risks and maybe lose. Now, this industry is full of entrepreneurs. So it's a difficult area because there's an intangible quality to it. But that doesn't mean they mustn't do their best to encourage those entrepreneurs. And the guys who show initiative and go for it, I think, should be recognized. But again, to summarize, I'm actually in general agreement, believe it or not, with my old Marxist trade unionist friend, colleague Waiine.
Right, thank you. I was just trying to get my mind around the point you made about this industry that's full of entrepreneurs, when all I heard is they're making a lot, so they enjoy making a lot. I believe you mean, and those are the first entrepreneurs I heard about who enjoy making a lot.
Definitely.
But maybe you can explain the finer point of economics to me on that one.
I think that I would agree with the Honourable McIntosh. This is an activity where people go in because they want to make money, and this is it. I think that we need to just calibrate what we expect government to do. I would suggest maybe that there's a case for some referral to our colleagues in agriculture, forestry, and fishery. I'm not in the slightest bit informed about what they're doing or not doing. I've heard one side here. I don't know what that would want to say. I don't know what the agriculture, forestry, and fishery portfolio committee would want to say. But I think the idea that we're going to get some kind of everyone in government is suddenly going to come together and we're going to rescue the horse racing industry. I mean, you know, let's be a bit realistic about that. As I said before, it's not manufacturing. It's not one of the five priorities. It's not a new growth part. It's an activity where people are obviously money. As I said before, we are regulating the conditions of the gambling license. We take the points that have been made in the Gambling Review Commission report and endorsed by the Portfolio Committee that there are things in the gambling license or horse racing which, if we change them, then that will make the fortunes of this particular sector better. And I think I'm persuaded by the fact, and this is what I wanted to say, because if you come along and tell me the same story about the bingo machine, I'm not going to have the same answer. The electronic bingo or something like that. I'm going to ask, where's the infrastructure? How many jobs are created? Where's the downstream? All of that. And in that case, it's not there. It's manifestly not there. It's competing with something that's got no infrastructure. This one has got more infrastructure in place, more jobs, more leads to productive activity, maybe in agriculture. So, you know, we will make those changes in the gambling framework as recommended by the Gambling Review Commission. That's what we will do. However, I need to say that we don't have the national. I said we'll make them. We'll take them to the Gambling Policy Council, and then some of those will be carried out in this. That's what we can do. We can address some of the matters like I did. I mean, I was also involved, as I said earlier. I was in the same trip in the UAE as the President, and I also raised the matters on a number of occasions that we were told that they would look at the matters in the UAE. Well, I don't know if I'm not giving you a report that something that you've got raised in the UAE has. But maybe there are a few solutions here and there that we can work on. But I think we have to get a sense of realism about what we can do. This is not going to be a major intergovernmental activity. This is an industry that's Macintosh is driven by people who are there for private profit. Actually, quite a lot of people are there hobbyists. I mean, I think I'm one of these people. I own racehorses, but actually, I'm a mining magnate of some sort. I don't know. So it's a hobby as well. So I think, you know, this is getting some sort of perspective. But I'd just to repeat and reiterate that the message that's coming over from the portfolio committee about inconsistency and a sense of transformation, as we would expect to see every other school, I think this is part of it. We'll do more if we see more inclusivity. That's basically it.
Thank you, Minister. We did just have Honourable Salah, who was also wanting to engage, and did you raise your hand, Honourable Prince? Thank you.
A lot of what I wanted to say was covered by my colleague here, Honourable Comrade Wade. And the minister also on the issue of appetite, because the issue I needed to ask was, do we have an appetite to move into this industry? And if we have the time, the minister has earlier said that part of the problems that they have result from competition. In that before 1994, there was no competition. Today, there was a whole massive sophisticated competition that takes all these customers to go to other things. And there is a request for Commission of Inquiry. The question is, what will the Commission of Inquiry achieve? What it looks like, the facts are very straightforward and simple and on the table. This is a business that knows how it does. It starts in agriculture, and then it gets into sport. And in that sport, there's betting going on there, and then it becomes gambling. Straightforward. What do you want to require in that Commission of Inquiry? I'm not able to get clear on in that area. And the issues related to competition, what is government expecting to do? Or what should the committee do? Or what is the committee ask to say to government about competition? Because competition is what we support. Competition is what we have asked for. And competition is what we accept. We cannot say that we're going to have to support some of the competitors for the survival of another role player there. But there is a sharp element that comes into the play there, which is an element that has destroyed many companies, if not carefully handled. If handled carelessly, it can destroy. The issue of labor, the issue of sharing, I think my colleague has touched it badly. That is referred to the issues of the recognition of the labor association. It is very important to handle that issue carefully. We cannot handle it for you. One that is perhaps to want us to handle it and to ask us to handle it. This is a relationship between two. And we cannot be able to send you out to the data. You need to handle it. The only advice is that handle it carefully. Ensure that out of the outcome, both the company and the employees feel committed to make it succeed. Because it's only you who can make it succeed and no one else. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honourable Salah, Honourable Prince.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I think I've indicated in our meeting early on this morning that the position of the ACDP with regards to gambling per se is one which we oppose. However, we also adopt a pragmatic approach in that we understand that it is there and that it has to be regulated so that there are no
gentleman on my left-hand side who corrected what I said earlier on with regards to possibly the NHA becoming a regulatory body, which is inclusive. And I think that this is the sense that I'm getting, that in order to solve some challenges within the horse racing fraternity, that it needs to be more inclusivity. If it isn't, then we are going to continue to have more of these meetings until that kind of inclusivity is reached. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Ring. I'm doing the final look around. Look at this. Members feel they are covered. Can I just check with yourself, Honourable Khadeli?
Thank you, Chairperson. I think that the problem, I think the minister highlighted is copper. That one, the way the stockholders are, they fall in different types of sector, agricultural sector, sporting sector, large the trade sector, so what is typically, I don't know whether there can be established in the commission how the National Horse Racing Authority can be involved. I think that we need some sort of, because if we are going to do that, if we are going to make people a digital body, who must initiate that? I think that the question is, who must do that? I think that the minister has, once she has done, a good dish, but yes. But what is typical is that something must be done. But even from those parts we have, it came from the National Horse Racing Authority itself, that it will be better off if they are a digital body. So the issue, who's going to initiate that? Or make a recommendation to Parliament as a committee. But I think that the type of the department can help us on something like that. And then, but the last one, but not in which, Mark, because someone called us, Mark, so the other US case study, I'll have to respond that a lot of changes in the world are following the way in which the left is following. That's why America now, it's such a capital center of the world. It's going back to industrialization, manufacturing, go back to retail, it's doing that. And then the thing is saving their food. They are getting better by eating, because they are eating now more to the left.
I do want to get stakeholders to come in here, but I must just say this, that the committee is, we've got the general thrust, and I don't think there's a number of issues that all members of the committee have agreed on. There's a broad agreement that there has to be some resolution, stakeholders as well. All committee members are saying is the transformation issue, the inclusivity issue, and of course the challenges that this very industry poses by its nature, complex nature of being an almost multidisciplinary itself, you see, at different points. So these are the points made. Mr. I don't know if you want to just hear what other stakeholders are also just saying at this point before you come in. Right. So let's take by show of hands your any response, any stakeholder here you'd like to make, contribution you'd like to make. You know what I mean? All right. So we have, first of all, number one, and people must first, identify themselves. And then we had yourself, Chairperson Porter, yourself. So,
Peter Gibson.
Yes. And then something else over here.
Louis
Fuerson. And yourself? That's fine. Right. Now, No, that's right. Fine. So in that particular order, and let's just, at this point in time, talk about a couple of minutes each and know that you can come back. All right. Thank you.
Madam Chair, my name is Rion Dupuy. I am CEO of Pumalilla, and I'm also on the board of the NHA. Madam Chair and Honourable Minister, I think you have put it very succinctly. There are three issues here. One for Department of Agriculture, one for the Department of Sport, and one for the DTI. Pumalela represents a stage of 60% of the horse race meetings every year, and we also now manage Kenilworth Racing, who stages 15% of the horse race meetings every year. And then Gold Circle in KwaZulu-Natal stage 25%. I'm really pleased to say to you that, and to reconfirm to you that the Pumalela is in the process of being related. Empower Desk are doing our new rating, and they should be complete by the end of October. And Pumalela will be level 2 when this rating comes out, 2 years ahead of time. So the comment from the Minister about transformation, and we represent 60% of the total businesses which are regulated by the gambling boards. Gold Circle and Kenilworth Racing were all of the Western Cape were together last year. Gold Circle is slightly behind us, but running on strongly, if I can use a horse racing term. So, and Gold Circle is also on course to meet the required level 2 by 2015. Kenilworth Racing, which is now not owned by us but managed by us, will have its first rating done now as well. It is considered a black company, 100% owned by the Thoroughbred Trust, which spends 80% of its annual revenues. Kenilworth Racing is the new owner of Western Cape, racing in the Western Cape. They are 100% owned by the Thoroughbred Trust, and the Thoroughbred Trust spends more than 50% of the annual revenues on transformation initiatives within sport. So that part which is licensed and regulated by ETI is either ahead on our transformation or on target to achieve the targets set for us by ETI. And we also, Pumalela is fully unionized. In fact, we have just settled with our union the wage increases for this year. Our union is SAPAWU, and we've had stable relations with our unions for the last at least 5 years. So the reason why we also strongly support now having the Commissioner of Inquiry, if it was to happen, is we feel that we have been guilty without trial since March of last year. The Commission felt that we as a sport were not transforming, we as license holders were not transforming. We submit our report to our gambling boards every year. We submit a 5-year plan to our gambling boards every year of our transformation targets. Yet, the honourable members of this committee, including the minister, are not appraised of what we do. And I feel that is why could we now, for once and for all, address the complaints of Ms. Kim, the complaints of Mr. Samoto. Look at all aspects of horse racing, because we have nothing to hide. In fact, Madam Chair, we are very, very proud of what we have achieved so far in transformation. I must turn now to the matter of the grooms, and I'm here speaking as a person who picks up 60% of the bill for funding the National Horse Racing Authority, and then also being a board member. I must point out to the committee and to the minister that, to the best of our knowledge and belief, we have not been able to ascertain that Mr. Samoto has registered SAGA as a union. It is not registered as a union. Mr. Samoto wrote us a letter last year claiming 5 million rand from us, and we've sent copies through to you, Madam Chair, of the letter, that we should now pay 5 million across to his association. Our lawyers wrote back a very polite letter. Could you please supply your articles of association? And could you please provide a list of your paid-up monthly members? We haven't heard from Mr. Samoto since in any official capacity. Mr. Samoto also last year, and I must point out to you that this was 2.5 months after my karma, went on to a campaign to organize an illegal strike, but not only an illegal strike, physically encouraging grooms to disrupt the sankat. Now, Madam Chair, I am responsible for the 20,000 people that attend the sankat as a safety officer, and also for the 30,000 people that attend the JMD Net. We have also submitted to your office letters, a flyer in Khoza and an English translation thereof, of the allegations made by Mr. Simoto and Saga ahead of the JMD Net. My issue is not with recognizing grooms. In my capacity as a director of the NHA, I was the first one to suggest that we institute a code of conduct in the modern South Africa, which we all love. One cannot condone things like physical violence, etc. However, what we cannot support is a person who actively calls for not only illegal strikes, for wildcat strikes, and then enter into a recognition agreement with these people who are not even a recognized union. Allegations have been made in the press with the public protector that we have stolen 17 million. I mean, unsubstantiated. Mr. Jay's complaints were the subject of an independent inquiry before I even joined Pumalela, and that was, I joined Pumalela 5 years ago. And the Racing Association then appointed, and I stand to be corrected, I believe it was a law firm called Brooksons, to investigate the whole matter, and they came to the conclusion that there was nothing wrong. Yet Mr. Jays persists with these allegations all over the world. Now, my concern, Madam Chair, is the legitimacy that we are offering and that EEI is offering Mr. Simoto in the light of these facts that we have progressed. And so, at the expense of legitimate unions, notably the two other unions that we have picked up that operate where grooms are registered, are the Food and Allied Workers Union here in the Western Cape, and South and SACA in KwaZulu-Natal. I don't know what that acronym stands for in totality. And I, Madam Chair, we're a public company that subscribes to good corporate governance. Our labor relationships are stable. We are fully unionized. We're ahead of our transformation targets. I find it unbelievable that we've been asked to give legitimacy to somebody who's putting 33 people's lives at risk. And that, to me, is really of grave concern.
Point out here, this is the first time I've seen it as I sit here. It's a letter dated 5th of September. It said to me, I'm not sure what in even what manner it was particularly sent. Was it emailed? Was it posted or what? Now I say that advisedly. That was the day I buried not. I certainly was not allowed to receive mail. But I have seen it now, and I would assume that it was dated the 5th of September. It may well have arrived through some means on the Friday or weekend or whatever. So this is the first time I've seen it. We've made available to all committee members the documents that have been received by Mr. Hermans or myself. I must make that very clear. So I haven't had a chance to even study what's in here. But I will just hand it over to my book to see if he's familiar with what may be there. Thank you very much. I just, as I say, we were right on track at that point before we went off track. Let's try and retain this within the parameters that we've already agreed on, and that is, we're looking at the horse racing industry, which is part of the gambling industry, and which the grooms, as part of one of the stakeholders, or social partners, have differences of opinion and have a challenge that they refer to us, their lack of recognition. That's what we should be discussing here, if I may suggest. So that is what has come to our attention, and what came to our attention some time ago. Now, Mr. Gibson, I see you're next.
Madam Chair, if it was acceptable to you, could I speak after Mr. J that he was going to refer to a African horse sickness matter, and it might be required to clarify.
Thank you very much, Mr. J.
The West of Cape is an African horse sickness free area. And the horses in the Western Cape do not have to be vaccinated, the horses outside that area do. And I agree that it's a very, very serious matter, and the National Horse Sickness Authority are quite right in insisting that horses be vaccinated against African horse sickness twice a year. But what does worry me is that we were this close to having the ban on our horses lifted, and then we had another outbreak of African horse sickness in the Western Cape. And one asks oneself, how does this happen? And I can ask anyone here, take a drive on the roads leading into the Western Cape, and if you find one sign that says you are now entering an African horse sickness free area, if you have not vaccinated your horses, do not proceed beyond this point, otherwise your horses will be confiscated and you will be subject to a fine. There is nothing like that. So although we are so-called supposed to be so worried about this whole industry's exports and all the rest of it, we, on an issue like this, which is to keep the Western Cape clear of African horse sickness, we don't even put up notices to warn people. Because it's not terrible, it's not those horses that bring that virus in. It's polar ponies and riding horses and American cattle, but they can carry the virus the same as any other. So that's the point A I'd like to make. And B, on the matter of registration and recognition, I don't believe the industry will suffer if we establish a situation where every stakeholder in the industry is treated with respect, is treated with responsibility, and can be part of the overall management of the industry. And I don't see why groups should be precluded. They are stakeholders, the same as trainers, jockeys, owners, breeders. Maybe not in any ways that they don't put as much money into it personally, but they put a lot of their time, a hell of a lot of their time. They work very long hours and they are dedicated to their horses. And as far as people assaulting them, I know of very few cases where trainers would assault their groups. They rely on their grooms too much. And they usually treat them very well. So I would recommend that the National Horse Racing Authority sets up a situation where a groom chapter can, and they must, for a start, there should be a register of all grooms in the country. The trainers have to be licensed by the National Horse Racing Authority. Jockeys have to be licensed. Owners have to have colours. Only people in the industry that do not have any kind of recognition are grooms. And I just see this as terribly wrong. The very least, the register for them. And then start from there and give them some respect, give them some responsibility, and you'll see a hell in your world.
Thank you very much, James. Mr. Mortal was coming in, and then we will come back to you. Chairperson, Mr. Mortal.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to remind this House again about our association. First of all, this is an association, it's not a union. That must be clear to everyone in this House. They mustn't keep saying other people reaching a union. This is not a union. It's an association like other bodies in the horse racing industry. Jockeys, the trainers, the breeders, etc. This is an association, it's not a union. That must be clear. And this association is not talking about the labor issues. We know the labor issues, where it's falling under. If we are going to talk about the labor issues, we have to join a separate union, not this association. That must be clear to everyone that this is the association. We have to recognize that the National Horse Racing Authority, as they did other bodies. That's why now it looks like now, so for instance, I repeat this matter in Parliament on 2011 until today. Until today, there is no direction. Why the constitution of this country is protecting us? Why this constitution is not working for us? Why this house not judge us go straight to point about the recognition agreement? Because this is clear, it's racial, and no mistake about that. Because this is an association, it's not a union. I know this union is talking about some power, some tower. It's fine. This is an association. It's not a union. And we need to recognize by the National Association of Authority. On 2011, Rob Gog, he's the CEO of the National Association, he was sitting there on that corner. He said in front of the House they will to recognize this association. He never proposed this statement they are here now today. He said they're willing to recognize the association, but they are waiting the constitution in order the objectives of the association. And I put the letter to Jefferson, who gave him. I mean, now why are they changing the story? They're not going to vote. They're busy communicating with them. They're promising, and then we're also drafting the recognition agreement with them, everything. Now, at the end of the day, they came around. But why is the government not just going straight to the point? Because this is a racial, and we are suffering on that. Also, when we go to the point that they are talking about it, I require the funding. Yeah, we have to ask the funding. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Now, why? The question is, why now the government is not just going straight to the point that when this association is going to be resolved? From 2011 until today, we're struggling. We're suffering by one people. And then the constitution is here for everyone. And then we are the part of the protesting industry. That is the constitution of the protesting industry. They support to recognize us in terms of their own. Now, what else now we need to be done in order to be recognized? There is a joke. They recognize the trainer. Mr. JC was the chairman of the trainer association in Gauteng. I mean, all these things are written down, but why now the government look like they're going to take another time? Many times the government gives them a chance. They are going to talk, they are forward, they are going to do this. From 2011, and after 2011, from 2005 until 2011, it reached to the hands of government for 2011. But why now this house is not just goes back to the point? Because all the issues are about this recognition agreement. And then, if they are saying they are going to develop the industry, all these things, who's going to facilitate on behalf of the groups? If the groups they are not recognized, who's going to say this is wrong? Like in 1994, the time we formed the union, we said this program we don't need it because they just teach us how to plant the cabbage, of which we busy dealing with the horses. Isn't they running away with? I put here in Parliament from 1998, the time of course we received license to develop the people. From 1998, how many rooms they came to the trainer? From 1998 until today. Again, the Pomerera from 1997 until today. But still, there is no point of direction. No.
What we try and do resolve, but I think you highlight an important point. I thought I'd just heard from another stakeholder an acknowledgement that in fact there were trainers associations. There were associations in existence. Not unions, a union of trainers, but an association. Now that was said here at today's meeting, and in fact it was said at previous meetings. So it does seem a bit strange as to why another association cannot be recognized. In fact, I ought to ask you a question here. Think about safeguarding. The question is this. My understanding of horse racing, although I'm not in that fraternity itself, and neither do I participate a bit in that area, but that my understanding from the papers is that trainers, not every trainer is employed by one farmer or one owner. My understanding is that there are a number of trainers all employed by an owner of a horse or something.
meeting that the grooms are association, that in fact they're not all one group, etc. They're, you know, individual farms and the rest. Well, that doesn't seem any different to the trainers. That's what I'm saying. Not that I'm in this fraternity, but it does not appear to have that much difference. So I do ask all of you here responding to consider these aspects. And it is also true, and this very committee, the portfolio committee, it was stated unequivocally by Mr. Cox, that there was no problem to this. And if there was a desire to recognize groom's association, and that is on record, it's on Hancock, which is available here as a legal document in Parliament. So it, to me, it is strange that we come to this impasse. It does seem strange. And I think now we need, as people come and respond and make their input, I think from my list here, Mr. Gibson was being next, followed by Mr. Hoerson. All right, let's carry on that, but try to address the issue. The issue here is about recognition. The issue here is about transformation. Can we deal with that? And in fact, the association through a member agreed, wasn't a challenge. Right. Gibson.
Madam Chair, obviously I'm referring again to experts, and I know that's not on the central topic. I have four closing remarks.
Yes.
Thank you. One is, two of which are in response to Mr. James. Firstly, there are signs that Denmark has the border of the African Pacific controlled area. However, it did take us 3 years to get the approval through the various departments. Secondly, vaccination is permitted in the controlled area with the permission of the veterinary authority. And thirdly, the outbreak scenario is really a consequence of the rules that pertain to the way in which we export horses. African horses, this is endemic to the country, to the continent, in fact. But the rules prescribe that we export from a free area. And what we've witnessed over the 15 years since we started the export is that there's chronic underinvestment and the inability of the veterinary authority, DAC, to enforce the laws which are written into the Act. So until we address that, and you can talk about the same issues with red meat exports and ostrich meat, it's not isolated or restricted to horses. We have to resolve the basic fundamentals of the way in which South Africa is able to export agricultural products. And in closing, I think it needs to be understood that horse racing makes up, and I made it a statement earlier, that the greatest beneficiary of exports, internationalizing our equestrian industry, is in fact the sport horse sector, not necessarily only horse racing. And I think that distinction needs to be understood. Thank you.
Well, thank you. That sort of thing, constructive input then, and next on the list, it is Mr. Hoerson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Louis Hoerson, I'm just want to remind you, I'm the chairman of the World Trainers Forum, so not an association. We are 18 racehorse trainers. And just to get that whole picture that Madam Chair that you're referring to, we have 80 racehorse trainers at the World. We each have our yard. Some of us have 3 horses, some of us have 60 horses, some have 10 horses, etc. Now, when Mr. Simona comes in, he speaks about the grooms that we employ. Now, I have a contract employment to my groom, each individual groom. And that has nothing to do with NSA or with the Milena, the operators. That is a contract between myself and my group. I'm bound by the laws of this land. And all the laws relating to employment, we will do that. So for me, any labor union would come along and they 51% or whatever the requirement is, I would sign a recognition to it. No problem. We don't have a problem with that. But the South African Groom Association, I don't quite understand that side of it. How they want to be registered. Remember, there is a difference between the whole thing of racing is no one's held to ransom. It is correctly said by the minister was, you know, people find out, I think this million horse will win me 10 million in stakes if you find whoever wins a race, he lost a million. It's leisure money for others. And we, a trainer, I'm as much an employee as such, even though I'm self-employed, and I employ grooms. That's what the grooms are. So we generally do become quite a team as we move along. I've been, as Robert Brass earlier said, he's been in the game 40 years. I was born into the game 52 years ago in the Eastern Cape. It's quite a coincidence that I have a spreadsheet of my grooms here, and that a vast majority of these grooms are from the Eastern Cape and do not have higher education as us, and would be vastly if it wasn't for the work we created for them. Having said that, I love these grooms. I don't dissolve grooms. I, as chairman of the hall, would first be the first person to put my hand up and to stand up for any group that gets dissolved. So there's a couple of claims being made here today which I'm concerned about. I have spent a lot of time building my team. In terms of transformation in my life, I welcome anybody to come and have a look at what we've done. It's myself and my fiancée over here. She does the admin because I don't know how to. And I train the horses because she doesn't know how to. And the whole structure from there, I'm overstocked by 30% as to what would be necessary in terms of just grooming a horse. My guys have got uniforms. Every one of my guys have got a life policy. We have incentives, we take passes, we have to watch the best soccer team at night, easiest to get to, is when Wits University play, Bitvest. And these are the things we're doing as trainers individually. So I don't know where Mr. Samoa is coming from, but I would like him to come, I welcome him to come to our yard. As far as the association is concerned, I don't know. But please come into our yard and please don't think we're not doing transformation. As a racial trainer, I can give you my undertaking a lot at that. And I can also tell you two things that Mr. Jay's my mother brought up. If I transgress any of the rules in terms of labour, then the operators from the letter, in their conditions, they've got a clear cut condition, they will stop me nominating, which means I can't nominate horses, which means I can't train them, which means my owners will take into another chain, I'll go out of business. The operators will not tolerate anything else but the best towards my rules. And the same, the NHA have got a code of conduct for us. So I just feel that honourable members here, honourable members of the minister, please, a lot of claims have made this evening, so I don't particularly agree with you.
I just want to ask you, you mentioned you're a trainer, right? And in fact, you chair the Royal Trainers Forum. Are you a member of any trainers association?
There is no trainers association. We're a bunch of employees. We're a bunch of trainers, self-employed, employed groups, and there is no national. I know that the TEL has a trainers association. How official is it to Section 21 company or not, I don't know. I'm also, because I also own shares in race horses, I'm a member of the Racing Association, which looks after owners. But because of that part of my life that I've got, I can't afford the big ones, I've got 10% share here and 10% share there. I'm owner, and then I belong to the Racing Association.
Right.
Okay.
So, if anyone was a trainer that you employ, they
wouldn't
be prevented from belonging to such an association, or would they?
No, I am one of those trainers. I think it's a good thing that the grooms have an association. I have a problem between the employer and then our government. You know, the regulator is regulating. The operator is trying to get the intern over. I just think they're the wrong people to approach for Mr. Samoa. I think he should have been talking to the racehorse trainers and saying, listen guys, I've formed this association, back to the association, I don't believe he's going to have a hard time with that. But we have never ever been approached by Mr. Samoa except in two technical letters which we have been copied.
Thank you very much. CEO of the National Gambling Board, or the acting CEO, would like to make an input here.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is indeed an honor for me to make a presentation here, which has been preceded by a full report which has been sent over by the National Gambling Board. I personally was involved in the letter of mediation between the two parties. I sat in more than about 15 or 16 meetings, had a workshop. I was even here in the very same room, my second statement were accepted or agreed to by the former CEO of the National Operating Authority, Rob Tugor. There are some unfortunate situations which are coming out of this discussion and engagement with the parties. I think firstly, NHA committed, according to my rule, as much as it's imposed on record, that they have no problem having a coordination agreement. We had a meeting with them on 5 September 2012, whereby, in the presence of my CEO, they said they don't have a problem entering into the agreement.
functional fraction of group, as we mentioned. Two, determinative are the mean functional fractions of groups. Three, determinative is compounded for groups to belong to an association, for those who didn't want to belong to an association. Four, establish what mechanism would be utilized in finding an association. Five, consider the framework within which the association would operate. Now, the mission has resolved that, yes, indeed, labor matters should be excluded from the discussion. Now, what we have seen in this situation, unfortunately, from both parties, is that on the side of LHA, LHA created an expectation and agreed verbally to meeting, including this house, that we are prepared to go into a recognition agreement. I think the way of recognition agreement, we should put it into context in the manner that the groups are talking as if it's a recognition. Because immediately people say recognition agreement, they are right in saying they are not taking it. All of the groups are saying was that we do not have a voice to give. We find a bit of balance in terms of it. This is a workshop that I had. They said there's no, there was no association for traders, but it's coming out. Some of us that there is an association is another problem. It's some of those unfortunate situations which has put the NGP between the habit and the wrong, in a sense that it's trying to be the ETA, but at the same time, you must balance between the things that they say. Some of them do not balance on the equation. Now, you've got the party who has the power, the insight, is doing the other party saying to him, look, I'm prepared to talk with you, I'm prepared to have a cooperation agreement with you, but he doesn't want to come out and talk directly to the president. The NGP is used as a facilitator, but NGP will never be there forever. They must talk together, and people are involved in the industry. If traders can form a forum which is legitimate, it's not question, as they say, with the 30th this afternoon, they do have an engagement with the NGP. Now the groups do not have an engagement. It becomes a bit of a challenge to me as a leader. Although I didn't want to put a position on this thing, I was in. But now, on the other side of the group, the unfortunate thing is that this thing keeps on frustrating them. It touches emotion. It touches them on the wrong and sensitive areas of their emotions to an extent that it starts to act out of the ordinary and out of the correctness, where issues like victimization start to come in, where they start, whether rightfully or wrongfully, attaching racial connotations to living it because of the transmission and everything that is not happening. And it should be very difficult. If we don't find a situation where you've got a party that is willing to have the other party sit down with them and talk, at least have a talk, whether you agree or not agree, agree that you disagree, we go to another level. But that engagement that says, I open the door for you, come, let's talk, let me hear what you have. Now, immediately, a lot of things start to be pumped into the discussion, and it dilutes the spirit and the road at which this thing should go and fall becomes a problem. That is how the National Council of Policy has phrased it, and that to mediate, in the sense that you get rapid balance, but within a twist of things, you come to a meeting, then the message comes, we do not have authority from the powers that be, as the regulator that can enter into a commission. The people have promised all them to do the house, to do the house, and they've come onto the table. So, my problem here is the willingness between one party to come to the forum, at least open the forum to talk. And on the other side, the party whom they are saying can open the willingness for it to talk, to have sense of good motions, not emotions, let me say, and a sensible person that they can talk to. Immediately, that's not there between the two parties. They'll never find one another, because this one is too emotional. You know, it's even going so inside the fence to say, I want to go in, this one is so in the fence to say, you can't go in. You never get that equivalent that says, we will sit down and talk and tell one another. This is the problem that is dealing with. I mean, I've articulated here, from my education, I think I've got close to about 15 or 16 issues that are coming under this commission, which are in this report. Some of them, if you look at them, they're not just issues about commission agreement. It's just that the wrong phrase or the wrong connotation is being used on them. For example, they're saying they want a stakeholder contribution, which they can imagine is about 22%. That will come into a fund. That will go into the development of the group, whereby they shall be part of the administration of that fund. Not that somebody administers it independently of them. You see, when you talk of issues like that, for me as a regulator, for me as a public tender, I start to get a sense of saying there is an issue of development that is a problem. The solution might be wrong, but the principle that is coming that says get money, put it to develop, I want to be part as well of the approval of the development plan and then go forward. Some other issues, yes, they might be wrong, because they are saying, you know what, we abuse, want you to feel tender abuse, which is a criminal protection. But they are saying, even if it happens at all, they must process that way, which we must be compatible with that we can deal with. Not that they are not there, not that they are not there, maybe they are there and they are not adequate, but immediately open up communication channel. Then you can see that it's the very same products that are there, that they are there, whether it's code of conduct or the rules, then we've got the process of engagement to review those kind of processes that you're saying are there. To me, that's the fundamental problem that we have. Thank you, Jonathan.
No, thank you very much. And indeed, we are aware of that, but we come back to the same point that has been made repeatedly by different stakeholders here, the committee itself, an acknowledgement from certain stakeholders sitting here, Mr. Morgan himself referring to, that is, that there were public verbal pronouncements that there was no problem in recognizing a group association. Publicly, we didn't even ask about it as a committee. It was simply proper to us on a plate. So, you know, it's this kind of thing that puzzles us here as a committee. We agree, and as you put it, expectations may have been created when publicly in Parliament you say, we have no problem. There's no problem in recognizing a group association. The problem seems to have arisen after, for whatever the reason. And we can go around in circles here, but I hear the same issues coming out repeatedly. And I'm not prepared to go around in circles again. You see, I've been there three times. So when I look at the issues here, they are very clear. Because you're just saying, and so is the regulator, why can't you get around this table, honor your verbal agreements made here in this house and in Mark's building? Why not? What is the impediment there are? What are the challenges there are? Because there doesn't seem to be any substance to them. On the other hand, I do think also with the Groom's Association, the message is coming out, you are asking to be recognized, you know, well, we have a mission agreement on the association. This is what's been asked for. And why not resolve that issue which already has in principle been agreed to? But so I'm going to... allow me to finish my sentence.
Okay.
I was saying that Mr. Pillay wanted to... he was on the final person on my list, and we must also honour that briefly. And I wanted to hear what the Minister has to say, and I'm sure you do, Honourable McIntosh. So if I can just quickly, short input there, because we in fact gave you the most extended time for the presentation, the National Horse Racing Association.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of things that I just need to clarify. One is, with regards to the grooms, when we came here in 2011, there was no mention of grooms in the rules of the National Horse Racing Authority. As I presented to you, we've amended our rules to address the issues that were raised by the grooms. Further to that, I did mention in my presentation that we are considering registration of grooms, we are considering the representation at inquiries depending on complexity, etc. Now, with regards to the statements that were made by Mr. Robscock in this House, I'm not sure, and Madam Chair, please pardon me, I need to have a look at the copy of the transcript so I can put it in context and understand. I am the current chief executive. I need to put in context. At a workshop that was held in Cape Town on the 7th of May, I did ask the acting chief executive of the National Gambling Board for a copy of that, because it kept coming up that Mr. Russell Cock made a statement. Now, I don't know the
can't remember the context. I apologize to the House. Please give me the transcript so I can look at it and then comment in context. So we have given the resolution. When we sat with the Grooms Association in Cape Town on the 7th of May, we said we cannot enter into a recognition agreement. However, the forum in which we were sitting, we were ever so willing to sit with them and have discussion.
We wish at least willingness to have discussion. But I think we have exhausted this. And may I say, I've seen the hand. You know, someone said passions are very high here today, someone during the tea break. The only time I ever heard passion being high is when there's money involved. Now, I wasn't aware that there was money involved in this particular process. There's no winnings here. So I suggest you lower your passion, you know, the degree of passion. That's one. The second thing is, when we, I just want to close this meeting and have reached the same point we were at 3 years ago. We're not going to do that. Because if that's where you're leading this committee, then we will have no choice but to make some serious considerations and our recommendations for the minister to consider. And that is not where we want to go. So I've given you the platform to try and resolve this. And I think personally, although I'm not the committee, no impediment to recognition. Minister Davies.
Thank you very much. I want to make a proposal. I think that hearing a lot more input is going to help. I think that people are all in their own different trenches. And I think one of the other problems has been that the National Gambling Board, as we heard from the acting CEO, has been put in a position where it's been trying to facilitate, but it's actually not a facilitating body. So what I want to say that as things stand, as it looks with these kinds of vibes, there's no way I'm going to be prepared to sign on any proposal that the Horse Racing Association becomes the regulatory body. So I'm not going to be one of these vibes of it. What we are prepared to do, as I discussed it just now with the DG, is we will offer to put together a facilitator who can meet with all the stakeholders, including the ones who are not here in the unions. I think their voice is important on this matter of the Grooms Association and the role it plays and how it relates to unions and all those kind of things. And then we come up with some kind of a set of recommendations to the Horse Racing Association about how it becomes a body where we can sit in a meeting like this and we can say everybody is happy with the way it's going, the industry is relatively united, and we're moving further forward, and that includes the recognition of all the different components. So I think that getting one say it this way and another say it that way and another says it this way, I mean, we're already way past the time you said we were going to meet. And I also don't think that we're going to make any progress. So that's the offer that the DTI will put together. We'll find a team of facilitators and will attempt to go through these issues with the industry. And then I think honestly encourage the industry and all the different components, the Grooms Association, all the different components. At the moment, the vibe is very antagonistic. We want to see an inclusive, transforming industry in place. And then we can, as I said earlier on, there are various things that we can do in terms of trying to change the regulatory terms. But, you know, we can't do it if it's looking like it's looking now, to be quite honest. So I think that's the offer that's on the table.
You're quite right, Minister. We pot ourselves out it. May I just say we welcome that, you know, offer that the department through yourself, Minister, you are going to ensure that something is put together to facilitate bringing the different stakeholders that are playing in this particular industry. Honourable McIntosh?
Madam Chair, thank you. The Minister, in his usual way, has, I think, made a very constructive contribution. I just want to make clear, Madam Chair, when you talk of the committee, I actually sense a real discomfort in the industry. They've been frog-marched, with the greatest respect, into a situation which, frankly, doesn't. They've met conditions in terms of BEE. They are making real efforts to recognize the richness of the South African society. But on the basis of one group who are called the Grooms Association, who have doubtful legitimacy. The CEO of the Gambling Board and the Australian Committee are trying to flog these people into a certain position. Now, I just want to make it clear, if that's the view of the committee, I disagree with that view. I actually think the industry is doing its best. I think it should try to meet with the grooms. I'm not sure that the man who's come today to give his evidence represents.
Today, this is not a court. Carry on.
I just want to make it clear that if you're going to talk about a committee, please don't include me in that group. Thank you.
I was including you in the position which spoke about a transformation. We want issues around transformation, inclusivity met, and I thought you were in agreement there. So I think you don't agree with those two points. The third point that was made was simply to refer to what this committee had heard on two occasions, that there was no problem to recognising, Now, that is not from the committee, that was a statement made by a member of that association. So, I think that on reflection, Honourable McIntosh, I would like to ask you, you would disagree that this committee would like the issues around transformation to be addressed and the issues around inclusivity. If you have a problem now, say so. Thank you.
No problem, but I don't think that agenda should be driven by the Grooms Association, because Pumalela gave clear indications that they already are well down the road in addressing that issue. Mr. Horson gave clear evidence, but it seems that the Grooms Association's agenda is driving this committee, and I have a problem with that, Madam Chair.
I don't think it's driving me at all. I'm not aware that anyone can drive me except myself. Thank you. Honourable Kajiri.
Sir President, I think that we cannot spoil what the Minister has just articulated. I think that any peace-loving South African, any person who likes the country to go forward, will support the proposal of the Minister. Because, you know, in our constitution, there's one good about it. It protects the Bill of Rights of individuals. So it means that any person, even a single person, rights being violated, it must be attended to and be corrected. But as correctly said before, that this is not a court of law. This is a court of will on trade and industry, which must ensure that the executive is doing so properly so that we create a society which is going forward and an economy which is growing. So I think, on that regard, we have done much. There's no one who can promise here. This committee got a right by the constitution to subpoena any person inside the country, to come and give evidence in front of it. But it's there, power and privilege is part of it. It is there. But keeping on that regard, I don't think that we're here cannot be driven by a particular person. This thing has got a long story. When it started, Mr. McIntosh, when it started there at Max Building, Mr. McIntosh was there. I don't understand why this sudden forgetfulness which is coming into play. Because really, we cannot have different people coming to the same point. But what is critical is that we must build a non-racial, non-specific, prosperous society. I cannot, one thing Chairperson which made me to join this, like, I remember even the Secretary of State asked me one time, as why are you involved with Stipe or South African Congress? Why don't you put a BSC? Why don't you get any job you like in the country? The answer was very simple. If my neighbor's child does not have this opportunity, he'll come and steal in my house and steal my car. So what they have to do to ensure that everyone comes into growth. So we're not here to stop this very industry. It's very important for this country. We cannot destroy because it will be irresponsible. That's why the issues which were raised by the Israel Organizing Authority, we took to put in such a way that when in the next meeting, the president of the country took those issues up because we could not afford to have our horses not going abroad. Because that's going to be an opportunity for us in any foreign country.
sure there's no one to improve much here. But when you pick it up, we must build a united democratic non-self-proclaimed South Africa. That's what everyone is sure. I think that what is not required as a matter of for us in 1994, we must tell you what. We are not here. We are not here to take any sides. We are not here to take any sides at all. So, Chairperson, my appeal is, the minister has come with a solution to this. Let him have a facilitator to bring the stakeholders together so that we can grow together. Thank you.
Yes, we're not going to entertain more points from either the committee or the stakeholders. We will simply reiterate that there was a proposal made by the minister and no one has disagreed with that proposal from the committee. In fact, I understand it's being welcomed. And the second aspect is that there have been many of you who have seen Manco separately. No one has been given preference. And some of you, we have actually taken, if you like, we've driven a program for you to try and ensure that the industry was not jeopardized. Not because of who you were, but because this is an industry of South Africa. It is not an individual's industry. It is an industry. And I hope on that note, Honourable McIntosh, we would all agree that we support the Minister's proposal and the Minister, we would hope we are able to keep some report back on how matters have proceeded sometime in the next couple of months. Are we agreed on that point? Thank you very much. And may I just say, as we close, it has been a very robust engagement and conversation, and maybe that's how it should be. And those of you who feel your voice has not been adequately heard, then it's perhaps time constraints may be on our side. We're not trying to block anyone's voice here today. But I was really, at the beginning of this, I actually said the minister would like to leave a bit earlier, do you remember? And then I agreed because he's had no sleep. Now, you know, we don't want to be part of opposing the Bill of Rights here and Mr. Biden being the minister himself. We would like to repeat with you. And for the members, I look at honourable friends and I look at other members who've been here, some of you for the first time, and we rarely have worked over an hour beyond our time. And I don't need, I'm looking at my watch, I was looking at more of broad undertaking. But may I say thank you for remaining this long. I want to say to all the stakeholders, thank you for flying here, in meeting here, all of you. And I do wish you well, Minister, in being able to facilitate the stakeholders resolving this challenge. We cannot have it here next year. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned. Members, transport in front of me.